Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going deep on the Book of Daniel.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a fascinating choice that you sent our way. In fact, this deep dive is extra special
How so?
because you've given us a scholarly lecture as source material,
Ah, okay, cool.
which we don't normally get,
Yeah.
so this is going to be really exciting.
Yeah, and it's by Dr. Wendy Witter.
Okay.
In her lecture, she admits to initially being a bit hesitant about the Book of Daniel.
Hesitant, I get it.
Yeah.
The end time stuff can be a bit much, even for someone who enjoys a good deep dive.
Yeah, that's exactly what she thought.
Really?
Dr. Witter had always viewed Daniel as this prophecy roadmap,
Oh, I see.
which, as you said, could be a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is how her perspective shifted
Okay.
once she really started digging into the
I'm
scholarship.
all ears. Tell me more.
Dr. Witter discovered that rather than being a crystal ball for the future,
Right.
the Book of Daniel is actually a source of encouragement and strength for today.
Really?
Yeah, a
Wow.
message that's incredibly relevant to us now.
Okay, now I'm intrigued. But before we get into all that,
Yeah.
what makes this book so unique in the first place?
Well, for starters, it's not just a book of prophecies.
Okay.
It's a blend of genres.
Okay.
You've got those gripping narratives like
Right.
Daniel in the Lion's Den
Yeah.
and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery
Of
furnace.
course.
But then you've also got those mind-bending apocalyptic visions.
Yeah, it's like a literary roller coaster. History, storytelling, and mystical visions all rolled into one.
Exactly.
And to add to that complexity,
Yeah.
you have the unusual factor of the book being written in both Hebrew and Aramaic.
Right.
Why Aramaic? What's the significance of that?
Well, Aramaic was the common language of the ancient Near East during this period,
Okay.
especially under the Babylonian and Persian empires. It was used for trade and diplomacy,
Okay.
including Aramaic in the Book of Daniel, might indicate an intention to reach a broader audience
Oh, interesting.
beyond just the Jewish
So
community.
it's not just a language choice, it's a strategic communication choice, perhaps even a political one.
It's possible. And this raises another key point.
Okay.
As with any biblical text,
Yeah.
understanding the Book of Daniel requires asking some crucial questions.
Right, lame on me.
When was it written?
Yeah.
Who wrote it? What was its purpose? And who was the intended audience?
Context is everything, right?
Absolutely. But with Daniel,
Yeah.
these questions are hotly debated, even among scholars.
I bet.
This makes interpreting the book a challenge,
Sure.
especially given its unique blend of genres,
Right.
the language shifts, and the historical ambiguities.
So where do we even begin to unpack all of this?
Dr. Witter suggests starting with the historical context,
Okay.
which she lays out in her lecture with a timeline.
Oh, nice.
It helps to see the Book of Daniel
Okay.
within the larger narrative of biblical history.
Okay, let's rewind the
All right,
clock. Give me the history deep dive.
imagine a timeline stretching back to Abraham,
Way back.
the founding father of the Israelites.
Right.
God made a covenant with him,
Yeah.
promising him descendants and a land, the promised
But
land.
it wasn't exactly a smooth journey to get there, right?
Not at all.
Not at
There
all.
was the traumatic exodus from Egypt,
Right.
the settlement in the promised land, the rise and fall of kings,
Okay.
and eventually the kingdom splits into Israel in the north and Judah in the south.
Things were definitely getting messy. And is this where the Book of Daniel enters the picture?
Yes, the book is set during a time of great turmoil and exile for the Israelites,
Okay.
specifically the Babylonian exile.
So this is where Daniel and his friends are taken captive to Babylon.
That's right. To
Okay.
grasp the significance of that, we need to zoom out
Okay.
and consider the broader context of ancient empires.
All right.
The ancient Near East was constantly changing,
I
with
bet.
powerful empires like Assyria,
Yeah.
Babylon, Persia, and eventually Greece and Rome.
Wow.
All vying for dominance.
It sounds like a geopolitical Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Where does Israel fit into all of this?
Israel is often referred to as the land between,
Oh, okay.
because it was constantly caught in the crossfire of these empires.
Right.
During Daniel's time, Babylon was the dominant power.
So the first part of the book takes place during this exile under Babylonian rule. What about those visions Dr. Witter mentioned? Do they fit into this historical timeline?
That's where it gets even more fascinating.
Oh, okay.
While the narrative portions are grounded in the Babylonian exile,
Yeah.
the visions leap forward in time,
Really?
foretelling events far into the future.
So are these visions meant to be literal predictions?
That's something scholars have debated for centuries.
I bet.
Dr. Witter proposes that the visions,
Okay.
particularly those focusing on a ruler named Antiochus IV Epiphanes
Okay.
and the desecration of the temple, were likely intended to offer a message of challenge and hope. The original audience?
Okay, let's break that down.
Okay.
Who was Antiochus IV?
Well,
What happened with the temple?
after the Babylonians came the Persians, followed by the Greeks under Alexander the Great.
Right.
When Alexander died,
okay,
his empire was divided amongst his generals.
Right.
Two of them,
okay,
Seleucus and Ptolemy,
okay,
constantly fought for control of the region where Israel was located.
Ah, so Israel was once again caught in the middle of this power struggle.
Exactly.
Okay.
Antiochus IV was a Seleucid king,
okay,
who was determined to conquer Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
In his quest for power, he ended up venting his frustrations on the Jewish people in Jerusalem.
Oh, wow.
He desecrated the temple by erecting statues of Greek gods and essentially defiling it.
That sounds horrific. How did the Jewish community respond to this?
Well, remember how Dr. Witter said the visions offered both challenge and hope?
Yes.
This desecration would have been devastating.
Of course.
But within the Book of Daniel, there are also visions of resistance.
Oh, interesting.
Of a future where God's people will overcome these challenges.
So it's not just about predicting doom and gloom.
Right.
It's also about inspiring hope and resilience in the face of adversity.
Precisely.
Wow.
And this raises an interesting question.
Okay.
How does this message of resilience connect to our lives today?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
After all, Dr. Witter emphasized that the Book of Daniel isn't just for the ancient Israelites.
Right.
It's for us, too.
My mind is already buzzing with thoughts.
Yeah.
But before we delve into those connections, perhaps we should pause and let all this history sink in.
I agree.
What do you think?
An excellent idea.
All right.
Let's give our listener a moment to reflect on what we've covered so far.
Sounds good.
What stands out to you about the Book of Daniel's place in history?
Yeah, take a minute and think about that.
We'll be back in a moment to explore how these ancient stories and visions offer timeless lessons for navigating the challenges we face today.
It's going to be good.
It is.
All right, let's jump back into our deep dive of the Book of Daniel.
Okay.
We were just talking about the historical context, particularly those visions of Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes and the desecration of the temple.
Right.
Those visions seem to skip ahead in time.
Yeah.
It's almost like a deep dive within a deep dive.
Uh-huh.
What I'm wondering is, what was the purpose of those visions? Were they meant to be a literal play-by-play of the future?
That's a question scholars have wrestled with for centuries. It's easy to get caught up in trying to decipher those visions as precise predictions.
Right.
But Dr. Witter suggests that they were more about conveying a message of hope and resilience to the original audience, who, remember, were living in exile, far from their homeland, with their temple destroyed.
So these visions were a way of saying, hang in there, things may look bleak now, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
The visions served as a powerful reminder that even in the midst of oppression and uncertainty, God was still in control.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just about bare survival.
Okay.
It was about thriving.
Oh,
about reclaiming their identity and rebuilding their lives.
I can see how that message would resonate with people across different times and places.
Yeah.
After all, we all face our own unique set of challenges.
Precisely. And that's what makes the Book of Daniel so incredibly relevant today.
Okay.
It speaks to the universal human experience of facing adversity, of wrestling with questions of faith and identity.
Yeah.
Especially when the world feels chaotic and unpredictable.
It's interesting because some people might argue that the book is about predicting the end of the world.
Right.
How would you address that perspective?
That's a valid point.
Yeah.
It's true that there are apocalyptic elements within the Book of Daniel that have led to that interpretation.
Yeah.
But Dr. Witter emphasizes that the book is less about predicting a specific timeline of future events.
Okay.
And more about providing strength and hope in the face of adversity,
okay,
whatever form that adversity may take.
So it's about finding that inner strength to face those challenges head on, regardless of what they might be.
Exactly.
But how did the original audience, those who had just returned from exile, react to these visions?
Right.
I imagine it must have been quite unsettling to hear about even more turmoil on the horizon.
Put yourself in their shoes for a moment.
Okay.
You've just returned from exile, longing to rebuild your lives and your community.
Right.
Suddenly, you're presented with these visions of future conflicts, including the desecration of your sacred temple.
Wow.
It would have been a lot to process.
Yeah.
Both unsettling and inspiring.
Unsettling because it hinted at more hardship to come, but inspiring because it also promised eventual victory and a brighter future.
Exactly. Those visions would have been a call to action.
Okay.
A reminder to remain faithful, to fight for justice, and to never give up hope, even when faced with seemingly insurmountable odds.
So it's not about passively accepting suffering,
right,
but about actively working towards a better future while holding on to faith and hope.
Yes. It's about finding that inner strength and resilience.
Okay.
And that message continues to resonate across the centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Think of all the individuals and communities who have faced persecution, oppression, and injustice throughout history.
Yeah.
the Book of Daniel offers a timeless message of hope.
That's really powerful.
Reminding us that even in the darkest of times, we can find strength and courage through faith and perseverance.
This is incredibly powerful stuff, but I'm still wondering how those specific historical events, those struggles of the ancient Israelites, connect to our lives today.
Right.
Our challenges may be different. We're not facing Babylonian armies or Seleucid kings.
That's an important question.
Yeah.
While the historical details may feel distant,
right,
the core themes of the Book of Daniel, faith, resilience, the struggle against injustice, these are universal human experiences that transcend time and place.
So it's about finding the parallels, the connections between those ancient struggles and the challenges we face in our own lives today.
Absolutely. Think about the challenges you might be facing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it's a personal setback, a difficult relationship, a career change, or even just the daily grind of navigating a complex world.
Yeah.
Just like Daniel navigated a foreign culture and a completely different set of social and political norms,
right,
you might be facing situations that feel unfamiliar or even hostile.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Life is full of twists and turns, and those moments can be tough.
And that's precisely where the Book of Daniel's message of resilience becomes so powerful.
Yeah.
It's about tapping into that inner strength to keep going even when things are difficult.
Okay, that all makes sense. But how do we actually do that? How do we access that resilience and apply it to our own lives? Is there some kind of secret formula or set of steps?
If only it were that simple. But there are a few key insights from the Book of Daniel that can help guide us on that journey.
I'm ready to hear them. Give me those nuggets of wisdom.
First and foremost, there's the power of faith.
Okay.
Throughout the book, we see Daniel and his friends remaining steadfast in their belief, even when surrounded by a culture that worshipped different gods.
Right.
Their faith served as an anchor, providing stability amidst the storms of life.
So it's about having that unwavering belief, that trust, that there's something greater than ourselves guiding us through those challenging times.
Exactly. But it's not just about passively believing.
Right.
It's about actively living out that faith.
Okay.
We see Daniel and his friends taking courageous stands, refusing to compromise their values, even when it meant facing real danger.
Right, like refusing to bow down to the king's statue or continuing to pray even when it was forbidden.
Exactly.
It's about putting faith into action even when it's hard.
Yes, and it reminds us that faith isn't just a private matter.
Yeah.
It often calls us to act with courage and conviction.
Right.
And that brings us to another crucial point,
okay,
the importance of community. Notice how Daniel and his friends supported each other, encouraged each other, and held each other accountable.
Right.
They weren't going through those trials alone.
It's like the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone.
Yeah.
If you want to go far, go together.
I love that. It highlights how essential a supportive community is,
yeah,
especially when facing adversity.
Right.
Having a group of people who share your values, who will walk alongside you through the ups and downs,
yeah,
that can make all the difference.
So we've got faith, action, and community. What else can we learn from the Book of Daniel about building resilience?
There's also the power of perspective.
Okay.
Remember how those visions offered a glimpse of a future beyond the present struggles?
Yes.
It's about having that long-term vision, that belief that things won't always be this way.
It's that classic saying, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that when you're in the thick of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not about denying the pain or the difficulty of the present moment.
Okay.
It's about holding on to that glimmer of hope, that belief that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
Just like Daniel and his friends were able to envision a future where they would return to their homeland and rebuild their lives.
Yeah.
We can draw strength from envisioning a brighter future, even amidst current challenges.
This is really resonating with me. It's like the Book of Daniel is a guide not just for surviving, but for thriving amidst challenges.
That's a great way to put it. It's a message that continues to resonate because ultimately we all face trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
We all have moments when our faith is tested and times when we feel lost and uncertain.
So what's the biggest takeaway you hope our listener will gain from this deep dive?
The most important takeaway is that the Book of Daniel is not just an ancient text filled with cryptic prophecies.
Okay.
It's a timeless source of wisdom and inspiration for navigating the complexities of life.
That's a good takeaway.
It reminds us that we're not alone in our struggles.
Hmm.
And that even in the darkest of times, we can find strength in our faith, courage in our convictions, and resilience within our communities.
This has been such an enlightening conversation.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I started out feeling a little intimidated by the Book of Daniel.
Right.
But now I'm seeing it in a whole new light.
Good.
It's not just about predicting the future. It's about finding the strength to face the present and work towards building a better future.
Beautifully said. That brings us to another important element we haven't discussed yet.
Oh, okay.
The role of dreams and visions in the book.
Oh, right. The Book of Daniel is famous for its vivid and sometimes bizarre dream sequences.
Yeah.
We can't wrap up without exploring those, but maybe we should pause here for a moment and let all this sink in.
Right.
What do you say we take a quick break and then dive into the world of dreams and visions in the Book of Daniel?
Sounds good.
All right, let's dive back into the Book of Daniel. We've covered a lot of ground, from the historical context to the book's powerful message of resilience. We even talked about how those themes connect to our lives today, finding strengths in faith, acting on our beliefs, the importance of community, and keeping that long-term perspective. But now it's time to explore one of the most intriguing aspects of this book. The dreams and visions.
Ah, yes, the dreams and visions. They're a big part of what makes the Book of Daniel so captivating and mysterious.
Exactly. We can't talk about Daniel without getting into those wild dream sequences.
Right.
So what's the deal with these dreams? Are we supposed to take them literally?
That's where things get a bit tricky. Dr. Witter reminds us that in the ancient world, dreams were viewed as powerful messages from the divine.
Okay.
They weren't just random neural activity. They held deep spiritual significance.
So instead of a phone call, it's a dream, like a divine hotline.
I like that analogy. You're right. The ancient Israelites believed that God could communicate with them through dreams, revealing hidden truths and offering guidance.
That makes sense. It explains why dreams were taken so seriously back then. But what about those bizarre images and symbols, giant statues, strange beasts, cryptic numbers? How do we make sense of it all?
That's where careful interpretation becomes essential. Dr. Witter cautions against simply imposing our modern understanding onto these ancient symbols.
Okay.
Instead, we need to try to see them within their original historical and cultural context.
Oh, no Googling dream dictionary for this one.
Probably not the most reliable method in this case. Remember, these dreams and visions were addressing the specific concerns and anxieties of the original audience.
Right.
To really unlock their meaning, we need to consider the historical events, the cultural beliefs, and the literary conventions of that time.
Time to put on my ancient history detective hat, then. Let's take one of those famous dreams as an example. How about Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the giant statue? What was that all about?
Ah, yes. The statue with the head of gold, the chest and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of bronze, the legs of iron, and the feet of iron mixed with clay. Quite a striking image, isn't it?
Definitely not your average dream. So what's the interpretation? What do those different metals represent?
Within the dream itself, Daniel interprets those metals as representing a succession of kingdoms or empires.
Okay.
The gold head represents Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian empire, while the other metals symbolize the rise and fall of future empires.
So it's a vision of shifting global powers, with Babylon eventually giving way to other empires. It's fascinating how these dreams tie into the historical context we discussed earlier.
Precisely. And this interpretation would have offered both a warning and a message of hope to Daniel's original audience.
Okay.
It acknowledged that Babylon's dominance wouldn't last forever, but it also hinted at a future where God's kingdom would ultimately prevail.
Okay, I'm starting to see how there's a deeper spiritual message embedded within these strange images. It's not just about the literal events themselves.
Exactly. And that brings us to a crucial point. The Book of Daniel invites us to engage with these dreams and visions, not just as historical artifacts, but as opportunities to explore our own inner landscapes.
Ooh, that sounds deep. What do you mean by exploring our inner landscapes?
Think about it. Dreams often tap into our subconscious, our fears, desires, aspirations.
Yeah.
They can reveal hidden aspects of ourselves that we might not be consciously aware of.
So it's like those dreams are encouraging a bit of soul searching and self-reflection.
Precisely. Just as Daniel helped Nebuchadnezzar interpret his dream, we too can seek guidance and wisdom in understanding our own dreams and visions.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's about paying attention to those inner whispers, those intuitive nudges that might be guiding us on our own paths.
I'm definitely going to start paying more attention to my dreams after this. But before we wrap up, I have to ask about the apocalyptic elements of the book. Those visions of the end times, the final battle between good and evil, they can be pretty intense.
They certainly can. Those apocalyptic visions have been the subject of much debate and interpretation throughout history.
Yeah, I bet.
Dr. Witter suggests that rather than getting caught up in trying to decipher those visions as literal predictions of future events,
right,
we can view them as symbolic representations of the ongoing struggle between good and evil.
Okay.
A struggle that plays out both within us and in the world around us.
So it's about recognizing those battles, those choices between right and wrong that we face every single day.
Exactly. The apocalyptic language might seem dramatic.
Yeah.
But it speaks to those profound spiritual realities that shape our lives.
Okay.
It's a reminder that our choices matter, that we have a role to play in the ongoing fight for justice, compassion, and hope.
Wow, this deep dive into the Book of Daniel has been incredible. I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation for its complexity, its depth, and its enduring relevance.
Me too.
It's so much more than just a collection of prophecies.
It's been a pleasure exploring these rich and thought-provoking themes with you. And as we come to the end of our deep dive, I'd like to leave our listener with a final question to ponder,
okay,
inspired by Dr. Witter's insights. Remember how she emphasized that the Book of Daniel is less about predicting the future and more about finding strength and hope in the face of adversity?
Yes, that was a key takeaway for me.
So my question for you, dear listener, is this. What challenges are you facing right now where seeking deeper understanding and hope might be beneficial?
That's a great question.
What dreams or visions, whether literal or metaphorical, might be guiding you on your own journey?
That's such a great question to reflect on. And remember, as Dr. Witter suggests, those dreams and visions might not always be clear or easy to interpret. It's about paying attention, reflecting, and perhaps even seeking guidance from trusted sources.
Wise words. And remember, you're not alone on this journey. Just as Daniel and his friends found strength in their community, you too can find support and encouragement from those who share your values and aspirations.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Book of Daniel. We hope you've gained some valuable insights and a fresh perspective on this fascinating and enduring text. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.